Hello and welcome to the Negative Positives Podcast, episode 116. I'm your host, Mike Gutterman, coming to you from the Gutterman Cave on a Friday morning. And I am at the end of my day-long birthday celebration. And I don't know. It could be considered possibly a drunken podcast. I've tried to, be a good person and, judge my amount of alcohol, but we'll see how that works out. Let me talk about what's happened. I got a couple of things I want to get to on this podcast, but as far as today went, well, it's my birthday, so I slept late, as I usually do, because I work nights, and then I got up, and it was a beautiful day to have a birthday. It was like, in the 70s, sunny, just a really beautiful day. So I went out for a really long run. I'm a runner, and I've been running for probably 15, 20 years now, and my running has kind of slacked off in the last couple years, but I managed to put in about a mile and a half today, which is not crazy, but I used to run a lot of miles a day, but I got in about a little over a mile and a half in that range today. I was very happy about that. And then we went out for a little dinner. We didn't go to anything really expensive. We just went to a quick place to eat. And then my wife gave me my birthday present, and it was a package from the Film Photography Project. So I'm very happy about that. She got me a 5-pack of 120 medium format film. And I was like, wow, that's awesome that she did that, because I really am kind of getting a little low on my 120 stock. Wonder how she knew about this. A little birdie must have told her some information on this. Apparently she contacted this show's co-captain, Andre Dominguez, and Andre was able to direct her to buy the right thing. And so she went to the FPP online film store, got me a FPP 120 film sampler. They have the Film Photography Project store has come out with two like 120 sampler packs. And I think this is a really good idea, because sometimes I like to shoot a lot of different films, and buying a pro pack of five rolls of the same film, well, sometimes that makes sense. Sometimes it's nice to have a little variety in your life, a little spice in your life. And the FPP just recently came out with these two 120 film sampler packs. The first pack is a two rows of T-Max 100, one row of Portra 160, one row of Ektar 100, and one row of Lomo Slide 200 in 120 format. That's kind of their slower speed pack. Then they have a higher speed pack that they call the FPP 120 film sampler number 2, and this is the one my wife bought me, which I'm very glad that she picked this one, and I'm sure Mr. Andre Dominguez had something to do with this. Thank you, Andre, by the way. It is the film sampler number 2, which gives you two rows of 120 Tri-X, one row of T-Max 400, one row of Portra 400, and one row of Portra 800 in 120 format. And that was a nice gift to get. Those are all films that I like. I haven't shot Portra 800 in a long, long time, so I'm really looking forward to that. And especially Portra 800 in 120 format. That can be, that's going to be fun. And, I haven't really shot, it's funny, just not even that many years ago, you used to be able to find, Kodak Gold, or I don't know if they called it Gold or Max at that time, 800 was pretty common in department stores or drug stores or whatever here. But you don't really ever see 800 speed color film in your local stores anymore. And I kind of miss that. I believe if you buy a Kodak one single-use camera or so-called disposable camera, they still come with 800 speed, like Kodak Gold, sort of whatever that equivalent is. But yeah, 800 speed used to be pretty common in grocery stores, department stores, drug stores. You don't see anymore. About all you see now is like 1 or 200, maybe 400 speed film. But I haven't shot Portra 800 in a long time. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure if I ever shot Portra 800. I know I shot a lot of the Kodak Gold 800 back in the day. But Portra 800, I'm not quite sure. But it's nice that this film pack, the FPP Film Sampler number 2, which is what my wife got me for my birthday. I mean, obviously, it comes with two rows of Tri-X, which I love. It's my favorite film. A row of T-Max 400, which is up there. Up there in my favorite films. A row of Portra 400. And, I mean, everyone knows Portra 400 might be the best color film on the planet. And then Portra 800, which I'm not sure I have a whole lot of experience with, and I'm looking forward to that. So my wife did, a really good job at getting me a present. And if you remember, I think it was Valentine's Day, she bought me the camera messenger bag. And that was like the most awesome present ever. And she did really good here too. So she's getting better at this gift giving thing. My wife and I always joke amongst ourselves, like, well, it doesn't matter what I get you, you're not gonna like it. I say the same thing to her and she says it to me. Like, so this is kind of this ongoing gag we've had with each other for years. Like, doesn't matter what I get you, you're not gonna like it, blah, blah, blah. Well, I remember she had made that point to me about a week or two ago, like, I don't know what I'm gonna get you for your birthday, and I told her, like, it doesn't matter what you get me, I'm not gonna like it, because it's kind of the same running joke we always have. And I was like, I even went so far as to say, if whatever you get me doesn't say Pentax or Kodak on it, I probably won't like it. And then she said, oh ye of little faith. And then it turns out she buys me a 5-pack of 120 film of Kodak. So she did a good job. And Mr. Andre Dominguez, I know you're in on this. I've heard. I know the stories. And thank you for being a positive influence on this gift. All right, I'm going to take a break here and figure out what the heck I'm going to talk about in the next segment. But yeah, so it's been a good birthday. So when me and the family went out for dinner tonight, I did take a film camera with me. I wanted to take some film shots today because it's my birthday. I needed to take some film shots. I grabbed my little compact Kodak APS Advantix camera and took it to dinner with us. And didn't really take any shots, but all of a sudden when we were leaving dinner, we were walking back out to our car, and there was this guy pushing this gigantic, I mean, like, life-size, human-sized, inflatable ball of, looked like the globe of Earth, down the street. And I was able to get a couple of shots of this guy on my Kodak APS camera. And so I did get a couple of things, photography done. And then once we got home, I took a couple of Polaroids, because the last episode we talked about Polaroids. I took two shots on an SX-70 that had old Impossible Project film in it, and I took three shots on the Polaroid One Step 2 that had the new Polaroid Originals film in it. The three shots on the Polaroid Originals film kind of came out okay. They look like Polaroids. The two shots in the SX-70 with Impossible, the old school Impossible film, did not come out well at all. So I still need to do more research, more shooting with these films, but that's just what I found out today. even the Polaroid Originals shots were not as good as I remember old school Polaroid, but they looked like Polaroids, so I'll give them that. The Impossible film in the SX-70 which was the last generation of Impossible film right before the Polaroid originals came out. Those just didn't come out well at all, and I'm not quite sure why. But, you know, I get people's frustrations with Polaroid and Impossible and all that. I get it. Like, people at least want to get a usable photo out of it. And I took 5 photos a day. 3 were, you know, usable. They were images. Not saying they were spectacular. That could be just my fault, honestly, is just weren't that all that interesting photos. But the 2 Impossible ones, Impossible Project, which was the last generation of Impossible film, and images barely even didn't really get much of an image out of those. And so yeah, I'm starting to see the frustration that a lot of people have with them. I'm gonna keep working through it and trying to figure out, you know, how to make this work. But I think the Polaroid Originals film is definitely a step up from what was labeled Impossible film. But yeah, we'll see. It was a little bit discouraging because I took these shots out in the daylight. It was kind of becoming like, you know, evening sundown sort of photos. The light was good. It still wasn't like crazy bright outside because the sun was starting to go down. Normally it would be a great time for regular photography, but maybe with instant photography, maybe still not enough light. I'm not sure, but I'm going to keep experimenting with that. And then after that, I went to band practice, and we were able to get in an extra band practice this week because I was off tonight to prepare for our gig on Saturday. And it was just nice to have an extra band practice before a show. And, you know, it looks like at this point I'm going to be playing this show. I'm going to play a show in June with this band and possibly a show in July in this band. So it's not coming to an end anytime soon. So I've got a little bit of time to kind of have my last run with this band. And what makes me really happy is one of the show in July is going to be opening up for a band called Pelican, which is a band that I greatly admire. So it looks like I'm going to still be in the band up to that point and opening for one of my favorite bands, Pelican. So that was kind of an awesome little piece of news as well. So yeah, so it's been somewhat a productive day. Now as far as the shots I took on the APS camera, the Kodak Advantix camera, I'm still working out how I'm going to do all that. I'm going to process that film myself. I'm not sending it out. I'm going to scan it myself, and I have some ideas how to do that. And it's going to take a little work, but I'm going to be able to do it. And that's an issue I'm going to talk about in a future episode once I get the process down, because I don't want to talk about it until I figure out exactly how I'm doing it. I know a lot of, you know, people have turned to 110 photography as like a small format just for, you know, shits and giggles or whatever, but like, I don't really want to go 110, and I've got a big affinity for APS Advantix or whatever from the 90s, because that's what I shot a lot of when me and my wife were dating and when we first got married, so I want to shoot a lot of that just for the fun of it, the nostalgia of it, so I'm trying to figure out a way to make that work. I don't really have any desire to go to 110. If I'm going to go smaller than 35mm, it's going to be APS. And I've got it figured out. I just got to make sure it works. And once I figure out how my process works, and if it works, I'll tell you guys about it on this podcast. Because you can get APS film really cheap right now. You can get APS cameras really cheap right now. You can get APS SLRs extremely cheap right now. So once I figure it out and get it, make sure it works and my process works, I'll tell you all about it, and you guys can join the APS revolution, which is probably just me. But all right, let me take another break here and I'll finish this program up. Okay, so I just wanted to thank everyone on the Negative Positives Film Photography Facebook group for all the kind birthday wishes and just actually just the group in general. It's just been awesome, and it's been so just it's the best thing about this podcast is getting to know people that are listening to it, build a community, and have some interaction with people, and it's just been really, really fulfilling to do this, and so I really appreciate just the interaction on the Facebook group. Everyone has been so awesome. Like, you know, I put out a thing for like just for somebody to possibly make a a banner, like a logo for the show, and then John Gregory comes up with an awesome logo, like things like that, and just the giving in this community where everyone's like wanting to help out each other and just be a positive force in film photography. It's just been way beyond my wildest expectations, and I just can't thank you guys enough for it. It's so awesome, and I know that I guess it seems like this is, I don't want this to seem like this is my podcast and my voice, or I've built this community. Like, I haven't done anything. All I've done is talking to this phone and people have listened, but like, you guys have built this community, and it's just been really, really great, and I'm just so happy to be a part of it. I'm so happy to be doing this show, and that I'm just blown away that people listen, and that we've built a really, really cool community of people that I actually consider friends that I haven't even met. Like, and it's just, it's, I cannot tell you how much, it just warms my heart, truthfully. And, if you're not on the Negative Positives Film Photography Facebook group, even if you hate Facebook like I do, it's a pretty cool place to hang out. It's very active, and everyone is so super supportive, and I love it. Like, it's the only reason I open up the Facebook app on my phone nowadays is for that. And because I hate Facebook too, generally, and but it has given me a reason to like it. And so, yeah. So definitely join the Facebook group if you're not a part of it. Let's see what else I want to talk about here. So Neil Piper, speaking of the Facebook group, Neil Piper put up a post on the Facebook group about a link to, there's a podcast feed from YouTube, the Negative Feedback YouTube podcast feed. They did a tour of the Kodak factory, and it was an awesome video. I really enjoyed watching it. They basically got a pretty good behind-the-scenes view of how Kodak manufactures film, and I just really thoroughly enjoyed it. It was nice to see how some of my favorite films are made. It's a strange thing to watch, though, because you see just how mammoth the Kodak facility is, and you know that their cells are not anywhere near what they used to be when they were that mammoth. And even looking at some of the machines that are still manufacturing film, it seems like, as much as I enjoyed watching the video, it made me sort of sad, because there's a lot of shots of like empty parking lots, which, you know, those parking lots used to be full of cars and employees. And I don't know, it still was, you know, overall an enjoyable thing to watch. But at the same time, I'm wondering, like, has Kodak downsized enough? Like, there's still so much property there, so much vast amounts of factory space. And these machines that manufacture the film that used to turn out, you know, a million rolls of film a year are not needing to do that now. Like, what's the, how viable will this be going into the future? I don't know. It's anyone's guess. And I know that Kodak has done a pretty good job, or at least supposedly done a good job at downsizing the amount of film that they manufacture to make it more profitable, to make smaller runs of film more profitable. But have they done enough? I don't know. When you see this factory tour, you're like, wow, this is still pretty gigantic. This is still, to me, seem to be harkening back to the days when Kodak was turning out a million, or I don't know, maybe even a billion rolls of film a year. I don't know how many rolls of film they used to sell in the heyday of film photography, but now it's like, it seems to be a real skeleton crew. There seems to be very little people actually working there. It was awesome to see, but it's strange and sort of, while it was fun and I liked seeing it, it kind of made me worry a little bit. I don't know. It just seemed a little desolate because this was once a thriving, gigantic industrial complex that employed so many people. And now it seems to be a very minimal situation. But who knows? Hopefully Kodak has a good grasp on this and they know what they're doing. I hope they do. And that this will be a film will still be a profitable thing for them for many years to come. But it does seem like when you see it, you realize just how big film was before the digital dark ages. And now they have this gigantic complex and to manufacture a fraction of maybe the film they used to have to manufacture. So we'll see. But it's still worth watching. It is the Negative Feedback YouTube channel. And just look for Negative Feedback Tour of Kodak Factory on Google and it will show up. And it's worth watching. All right, I think that is the end of this episode of the Negative Positives Podcast. You can see my photography at Mike Gutterman Photography on Facebook, on Instagram at Gutterman Photo, and you can email this program at guttermanphoto@gmail.com. And join the Facebook group. It is the Negative Positives Film Photography Podcast Facebook group. All right, everyone, stay positive. Take some cool film photos, and I will see you soon. Thank you very much.